the 99% or the rest of society against that 1%. And if you look at that message is very, very powerful. And that message contains in it, you know, kind of almost the seeds of what could be the destruction of U.S. capitalism as we know it. You know, this idea that there is a class of super rich people with all this power, and we're not in it, and it's our job to come together and remove this class of super rich people. That's quite a powerful message, and it's quite threatening to entities that are in that 1% and would like to take that power and keep that power.
Number one, I think they feel threatened by the movement. That's one thing. It was really raising the consciousness of the whole society that, you know, it was taking it to another level. People who work for wages know they're not receiving the full benefit of what they produce. People have worked very hard during the last 10 years to try to work two jobs to solve their economic problems. That didn't work. And when the 2008 happened, people said, we're doing everything we can and we're still facing an economic crisis and our wages have gone down. So then people take it to another level, and it wasn't just what happened at Occupy Wall Street, it was an effect on the whole society. They responded very strongly because the whole discussion shifted to anti-capitalism, to people criticizing capitalism. Anti-capitalism became something that only socialists like the Freedom Socialist Party and other socialists talked about. Or youth who were political activists were talking about anti-capitalism, but it moved to the whole society talking about the problems of Wall Street and saying that the economic crisis was the problems of Wall Street. So they feel threatened. That's one aspect, immediately threatened. The other thing is that they're really know that a potential mass radicalization, it could happen on U.S. soil, and they want to have things in place in order to make sure that they can criminalize political activity.
He adds that the Occupy movement was part of a global demand for change that had the potential to bring about possible reform.
The ruling class of this country doesn't look at the world and say, well, the United States is different. In fact, what's happening is that people in this country are saying that the United States is part of the globalized world. 15, 20 years ago, people, American exceptionalism kind of ruled. But now they see what's happening in Egypt. They're seeing what happened in the Middle East. They're seeing what's happening with peasants and Native Americans, indigenous people fighting in other countries. And as Malcolm X said, you know, the chickens are coming home to roost in a very positive way, because people are very much, much more aware of what's happening. And in the fight for education, the fight against massive debt, the fight for a government that represents them can lead to a movement that could challenge the very foundations of class relations in this country.
The Bureau sharing information on Occupy with police on Joint Terrorism Task Force has raised concern about skirting local surveillance restrictions. And fusion centers, regional intelligence hubs, have recently been criticized by Congress as violating civil liberties. Yet even though the FBI's Domestic Investigation and Operations Guide prohibits investigations based solely on First Amendment activity, it does, however, permit assessments, even when there is no particular factual prediction of potential crimes or national security threats. Although they are relatively circumscribed, assessments may continue as long as necessary and draw on public information, government records, online resources, confidential sources, and physical surveillance. Several of the FBI reports on Occupy noted their contents were unconfirmed and a presumption of innocence still existed.
In U.S. society, from the time you're very young, you get the impression that protesting or going out and demonstrating is somehow either, you know, a sign of insanity, a sign that you're not, you know, sane and that you're dangerous, or that all protests are so violent and so dangerous the FBI or the police are going to come and attack it. People, you know, when people go on their first demonstrations, when young people first getting involved, often their parents are concerned that they're going to be arrested just for attending a demonstration. There's kind of a whole, you know, atmosphere of you know, people being told that protesting and speaking out against the government is dangerous, and not only that it's dangerous, but also that the people who do it are unstable and violent and you can't trust them. And there's a lot of efforts, and when people come to their first demonstration, first get involved, it's like a great leap. in a lot of ways. It's like they've taken this huge step in another direction, because I meet people all the time who agree with Occupy Wall Street, who agree with the anti-war struggle, but they won't dare go to a demonstration. It's something they won't do. They, you know, I agree with that. I might even give a donation, but I can't go to a rally. I can't go to a rally because of the atmosphere we get. And, you know.
Martin says there have been periods in history when federal authorities have made the country more like a police state, especially in regards to suppressing freedom of speech in respect to preserving national security.
The amount of freedom and the amount of civil liberties we exist in any society is proportional to how secure the ruling regime feels. If a regime feels very threatened, if it feels like it could be overthrown, like things are unstable, you're not going to be able to go out and protest. You know, you might not be able to hand out a leaflet on a street corner or just stand there with a sign. But if a regime feels very safe and no one's going to listen to what you're saying, and, you know, they will be happy to have you stand there, because that proves not only are you not a threat, but then, oh, look, see, we're such a peaceful and great society, we'll even let you stand there and you disagree with us. And that's what's important to remember. You know, every country in the world has, you know, clauses in its constitutions about declaring a state of emergency or you know, shutting things down. And that's something people don't keep in mind. In the U.S., we're always taught, well, this is a great country because of all the freedom we have. You know, but there have been instances, there have been periods in the United States where the government has been very threatened by the actions of dissident people, and that freedom has disappeared very quickly. And the 60s is a prime example, the 1920s and 30s is a prime example. And if Occupy Wall Street, the more Occupy Wall Street continues to be effective, and the more it plays into what people want to hear, and the more people who are inspired by it, the more people's rights are going to disappear, because the more of a threat it is.
Many believe the Patriot Act and similar legislation and policies have increasingly put any challenge to the status quo into the category of terrorism, and police agencies have been quick to suppress protesting activities that disrupt the natural state of business.
Because if you classify it as a terrorist threat, then you get to take away everyone's rights.
Okay, right. I mean, I don't think the only contradictions to you if you're actually using logic and you think logic matters. If you're just out to repress something, logic isn't important. It's just using whatever tools you have at your disposal to repress.
It became very important, I think, to the political establishment that there not really be an open space for dissent. I mean, that's all that Occupy was really asking for. They were just saying that, look, we dissent from the way that things are being done, and we want the freedom to get these opinions aired.
One of the recent developments regarding this week's show is that the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, has called on the FBI to release more documents related to the memo that it released earlier on surveillance on the Occupy Wall Street movement from coast to coast across the nation. Now, it's yet to be seen whether or not the FBI will heed that call or not. Thanks so much for staying with us until next week on another show from all of us here in New York City. Goodbye.
Just listen to the Voice of Justice. The Voice of Justice is broadcast daily from 3:30 to 4:30 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 31 meters, 9,710 kilohertz, and 20 meters, 11,770 kilohertz for North America, and FM, 99.5 megahertz for Taiwan. You can also listen to the Voice of Justice via internet, http://english.iib.ir, and the following satellites: Express AM 22, BAT 4, and AsiaSat. Your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran.